Hey, this is Paul Guantello, the Headhunter, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
What's up? This is Jay Lamb, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
This is the Fight Professor, Stephen Quadros, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
This is Danny the Upgrade Lovenstar, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
This is Martin Cannon. You're watching the FightNerd.com. This is Nathan Afko too, and you just got schooled by the Fight Nerd.
See it? What is it? The game we saw, we kicked its ass.
Not quite live from New York. You're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
Hey, this is the Fight Nerd, and welcome to another edition of Fight Nerd Radio. Today is Wednesday, September 9th, 2009, and we are just about under 2 weeks away from a big UFC doubleheader, with Ultimate Fight Night and UFC 103 coming up. But there are some other pressing matters at hand before we even get into those shows next week, so we've got a lot to talk about. Later on in the show, Roy Nelson, former IFL heavyweight champion and current cast member on this season of The Ultimate Fighter, will talk with us about the show, or at least what little information he can give us, and also discuss some other things mixed martial arts related. Now, before we dive in deeper into the show, just want to take this time to thank my sponsors. They are Brawlin' Mall Performance Gear. You can find them at brawlinmall.tv, Hoodlum Fight Gear at hoodlumfightgear.com, and findmmagym.com, your online directory for mixed martial arts gyms around America. Without them, the Fight Nerd cannot power his Xbox 360 to play UFC Undisputed. Speaking of which, I just got UFC Undisputed this past weekend and have been playing sporadically since then, and I must say, it's been pretty fun so far. I know I'm a little behind the times getting this game so late since it came out a few months back, but, you know, I finally got a chance to play the demo at a friend's house recently, and it was pretty fun. At that point, just kind of smashing each other in the face without really even knowing the instructions. But now that I actually have the game, I can start learning the controls and really get into the gameplay mechanics. And let me tell you, there's a lot more to it than just standing up straight on and punching your opponent in the head. There were a lot of complaints I've read about on gaming boards about fighters just kind of standing next to each other and just punch each other and flash knockouts and all these kind of complaints. But really, the main problem I noticed was that, you know, these complaints are from people who really weren't trying to learn the game, and they were just standing up in front of each other and pressing the punch buttons left and right, and that was it. Once you actually get into the mechanics of the game, it's actually very, very enveloping of mixed martial arts. It's definitely something that you should take the time to learn how to do. Granted, there is a tutorial mode at the start of the game. It's just boring as hell. I got through about 5 minutes of it, and I learned a lot from it. But again, it was just so incredibly dull that it's kind of just been me playing career mode and learning through that. As far as the fighters, everybody looks pretty much dead on. I was surprised. I mean, there are a few mistakes, I would say. There's a few lazy fighters I think they made, including, my biggest problem, I'd say, with lazy-looking fighters was how Ricardo Almeida and Thiago Alves look almost exactly like, not Alves, I think it was Thiago Silva. I had to look pretty much. If you look in the middleweight category, you can see whoever's right under Almeida almost looks identical. It's pretty pathetic. And Mark Coleman looks like a giant, oversized, shriveled raisin. But overall, I've been actually pretty impressed with the graphics of the game, the mechanics of the game. It's been pretty fun to play on my own and with other people. I haven't played the Xbox Live version yet against real opponents online, and when I do, I'll let you know what happens. But so far, after about less than a week of playing, I'm still playing it, and I'm still enjoying it. All right, now on to some real news this week. I want to first start with the passing of Ross Clifton. Super heavyweight Ross the Grizzly Clifton was an 8-year veteran of mixed martial arts, best known for his TKO loss to Ken Shamrock at the War Gods event in February. He passed away from a heart attack, and he was 32 years old. Clifton's former trainer, UFC veteran Cal Worsham, said the Rancho Cordova fighter was found dead by his wife Friday morning. Clifton was reportedly watching TV in a recliner chair when his wife went to bed Thursday night. Official details of Clifton's death are not available still at this time, but once we find out, we'll let you know. Clifton ran a small mixed martial arts school called the Grizzly's Den in nearby Cameron Park, and the last time he fought was actually in July, losing again by TKO to Rick Vardell at Gladiator Challenge Total Recall. So, your thoughts, prayers, or whatever else you do for Clifton's family. This week also marked the one-year anniversary of the passing of UFC fighter Evan Tanner. Let's hope that another year doesn't go by without him being in the UFC Hall of Fame, as opposed to Mask from Tapout, who got in almost immediately and pretty much died from street racing. So again, to honor Tanner, I suggest you go dig around YouTube and remember him for the ballsy, gutsy, kick-ass fighter that he was, and enjoy his legacy that he left us in the form of his mixed martial arts career. There's also a lot of entertainment buzz this week in the mixed martial arts world. First off, Tim Sylvia was set to star in the next Friday the 13th movie, playing slasher icon Jason Voorhees. The story originated at Fighters.com, and the author even claims to have gotten it confirmed from an undisclosed source close to the former UFC heavyweight champion. This rumor was quickly debunked by the director, Brad Fuller, himself, saying in a post on a Variety or a entertainment website, "Don't believe the rumor. We are not shooting Friday the 13th right now, and the only person I want to work with as Jason is Derek Mears, who was the person playing him in the previous remake." So for the time being, Tim will stay off the silver screen, but you can catch him at Adrenaline MMA 4 or whatever awful show that he'll be fighting at that Monty Cox is promoting next. I was a little surprised at first to even hear this rumor. I didn't really think much of it since, you know, I have seen a lot of the old Friday the 13th movies. I know Jason is supposed to be generally a big, scary guy, but Tim Sylvia just seems a little, I don't know, doesn't really seem right for the part. Then again, he has been bulking up, for lack of a better term, as of late. But I really didn't see him being Jason, and there was really no source, so why, again, news sites picked this up as fact, I'll never know, but at least it was debunked very quickly. However, there was another rumor that went down this week that did in fact turn into a fact, and this is, again, related to the movie world. Quentin Jackson, Rampage, who is going to be one of the coaches in this season, Ultimate Fighter, will be playing B.A. Baracus, a.k.a. Mr. T's role, in the upcoming A-Team movie remake. Due to this movie scheduling, the fight between Rashad Evans and Quentin Jackson that's going to be hyped all season on TUF is pretty much completely off. This is unfortunate since the event was actually set to be in Jackson's hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, and now there's going to be a lot of very unhappy ticket holders in that state. BJ Penn vs. Diego Sanchez has actually been moved in to replace them as the main event, but still, is that really enough at this point to save this show? Memphis seems like a risky proposition now with a depressed economy, and there's no local star to drive traffic and revenue into this card. There's also the concern of fighting in the South as the SEC football season is going to be wrapping up and the NFL is in its playoff drive. Ultimate Fight Night 17 in Nashville got next to no coverage in the Tennessee area. Will it be any different with the Memphis commercial and local television and radio covering all this stuff? UFC 102 in Portland fell flat pretty much and failed to sell out. Could it have been because of the lack of media coverage locally in the area? Most likely. And finally, Gina Carano looks like she'll be taking some time off from her fighting career as well to pursue her movie career. According to Variety, Oscar-winning director Steve Soderbergh, who has directed such movies as Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, Traffic, and Aaron Brockovich, has cast the former American Gladiator in the lead role of his next film. Scripted by Lem Dobbs, Knockout casts Carano as a girl from the wrong side of the tracks who is given a second chance to use her skills for constructive purposes. This film is a closer cousin to La Femme Nikita and Kill Bill than it is to Million Dollar Baby, in that it doesn't take place in the fight ring. Rather, Soderbergh considers this film as a flower action film in the James Bond mold, and will shoot in locations around the world that include Ireland, Turkey, and the U.S. Soderbergh will surround Carano with name actors in supporting roles, and this is going to be Gina's first high-budget movie pretty much ever, and makes us really wonder where her head is at this point. Is mixed martial arts just a stepping stone for her to get famous, or does she really care about the sport? She says she has, but have we really seen it? Gina was part of Elite XC's huge push along with Kimbo to force them into becoming stars that they never asked to be. So I guess in the next year or two, we're going to see the true face of Gina Carano and if MMA is really what she wants to do for a profession. In international news, the UFC has made it onto network TV. It's just not in America. British sports blogger Gareth Davies broke the exclusive news on his Telegraph blog, and it's been confirmed by the UK UFC Vice President Marshall Velznick via Facebook that the UFC will be appearing on Channel 5 in the UK. The show will be called UFC Main Event and will be shown regularly at midnight on Sunday and Monday. Each show will be 1 hour long and kicks off with fights from UFC 102, including the Nogueira vs. Couture matchup, Marquardt vs. Maia, and Jardine vs. Silva to start. Needless to say, this is of course a huge step for getting mixed martial arts worldwide recognition as a sport and into mainstream viewers' eyes. And hopefully it'll do a lot to improve the British MMA scene as well. It's always good to have more fights overseas. Something else I want to talk about that is not related 100% to mixed martial arts, but more to combat sports overall, is a new rule change that's going to take place in competitive judo. The International Judo Federation Refereeing Commission, that's a long title, announced that all techniques below the belt line will no longer be allowed anymore. This includes double leg and single leg takedowns, as well as fireman carry maneuvers in most cases. Officially, any athlete trying to grip the opponent's leg will be punished with a shido, or first time, which is basically just like a first-time foul, not a big thing, it's like a warning. If another try happens, he will be banned from the combat, and the victory will be given to his opponent. Only techniques using leg against leg will be allowed, or if the hand grip in the leg is a continuation of another technique tried. For example, Ouchigiri, which can develop into Kataguruma, which is a foot sweep that can develop into Fireman's Carry type maneuver. The IGF concern, or IJF, sorry, IJF concern, is that more and more often wrestling and sambo techniques are seen during judo combat. And this rule change for competitive judo is hoping to change that. However, it's really just turning this into more like Greco-Roman throwing. In the past, judo has actually outlawed the triangle choking competition, and the rules for the sport continue to grow more and more limited. Judo also now allows for a very limited time on the ground, unless you're in a pinning predicament. And of course, only chokes and arm bars are allowed as submissions, so anyone hoping to do a knee bar, an ankle lock, or even an omoplata in judo competition might as well just go to Naga and get themselves a nice trophy instead. I used to be a judo practitioner and didn't go too deep into competitive judo, mainly because of the rules being so restrictive, and that was, you know, a few years back. Now it's gotten even worse. If you check out our interview in the past we did with Tamak Johnson Ono, who's a former judo Olympic champion and world title holder to this day in judo and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, he is very disappointed and disillusioned with the way judo is headed, as I am. A lot of you might not be fans of judo or might not realize it is actually an Olympic sport even, especially since it gets really very minimal coverage in the U.S. during Summer Olympic time. Part of this is because it's just not too exciting, and this can be attributed really to the very rigid rules of the sport. Why fix something when it's not broken, especially in this case when you're eliminating legitimate judo techniques, in addition to sambo and wrestling, since double legs are, of course, actually in judo to begin with, called Murote Gari. So, again, why fix something if it's not broken? Adding more rules doesn't really make it any better, and I guess what they're trying to do is keep judo pure, but by keeping it pure, they're also going to be losing a big contingent of their competitors, and just, again, making this a very, very dull sport to watch. Alright, so with that, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to hear from Roy Big Country Nelson about The Ultimate Fighter Season 10, so stick around for that. Fight Nerd Radio is brought to you by Hoodlum Fight Gear. Check out their gear and apparel for men and women at hoodlumfightgear.com. And by brawlandmall.tv. For high-performance fight gear, as well as energy drinks, music, apparel, and more, check out Brawl and Mall for all your needs. And finally, find mmagym.com, your online directory for finding the nearest mixed martial arts gym located in your state and all other states across America. And we're back on Fight Nerd Radio. Joining us now is a former IFL heavyweight champion, and he's going to be on the upcoming season of The Ultimate Fighter, premiering on Spike TV in a few weeks from now. That man is Roy Big Country Nelson. Roy, how's it going today?
It's going pretty good. How you doing?
What's been new since the finish of The Ultimate Fighter? I know you guys just wrapped up a little while ago, right?
Yeah, we wrapped it twice.
All right, so what have you been doing since then?
Started training again and, just doing all the PR stuff for the and just, shaking hands, kissing babies, all that good stuff.
So you're running for governor, basically. Now, you're living in Vegas right now, right?
Yeah, born and raised in Vegas, so...
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much living in Vegas.
So, who are you training with right now over there?
Pretty much, in Vegas, it's the same, same people I've always been training with. Just my bunch of guys that I've been, the last couple of years. Pretty much just training them out. I got Dave Graham, Mike Rick Jackson, and...
Of course. Are you still training at all with Ken Shamrock? I remember back in the IFL days, you were part of Ken's IFL team. Are you still hanging out with Ken at all?
No, pretty much when I hung out with Ken, it was just he was a coach for TV purposes, and then he lived up in Reno, I lived in Vegas. He did his thing, I did my thing, and then I just, it's just how the, it's just like working, like for a baseball team or basketball team, coach, and then, you guys, you either train with
So it was basically pure business.
Pretty much.
Okay. Do you have a personal opinion on Ken Shamrock's current fighting status? I know he's still trying to get fights, but he's having a lot of problems. He's been losing a lot lately. Do you have any opinion about Ken's fighting career right now?
All I can say, like, for Ken's fighting career, I mean, it's good for him that he can still, you know, go out there and make money. As for, like, you know, all the other stuff, because of that, he's just pretty much like every other fighter up there, so there's not really, you know, anything different except, you know, he's just a little bit older now than where he was a couple of years ago.
And, the last time we saw you in action was against Jeff Munson back in March, and you lost a controversial decision to Munson. However, 2 weeks later, we saw you actually in Munson's corner in Dream 8. How did that happen?
Pretty much how it worked out is, Jeff knew who won the fight, and then after that, Jeff wanted to come train with me, and they wanted me to be in his corner to make him a better fighter, and I was his quarterman.
And before that fight, you also had a little problem with controversy back in Elite XC. I mean, you've been having some trouble, it seems like, with referees and judges these days. Do you think that's going to be solved in the future?
Yeah, just don't stick to Florida.
back on the Jeff Munson, what do you think about his recent legal problems? I know he recently had his passport taken away, I believe. What do you think about all that stuff? Are you guys still friends since the fights?
Yeah, actually, talked to Jeff pretty much on every other day basis. No, he still has his passport. He can still, fight in a lot of different places. He's just waiting around, finishing his legal stuff all squared away. But it's really not a big. It was a big deal back when January, but not.
Yeah, it seems like they kind of made it into a bigger deal than it actually was. Okay, where's he gonna be fighting? Is that gonna be in one of the jungle shows, something like that?
No, it's a new like the Key Combat or something like that.
Okay. I wanted to ask you something about something that's also in current events lately. We had Josh Burnett a few weeks back testing positive for steroids, and you're a fighter that's known for his natural physique. And I wanted to ask what your opinion is about steroids in mixed martial arts. Third time, I believe, now.
So, it's one of those things that you're getting busted and, that you're still getting ranked in the world. It's, time for, the way that they go to evaluate how they rank you.
Yeah, there's been a lot of problems with fighters testing positive for steroids these days. And you mentioned that you think it's a promise in running rampant. I mean, have you encountered steroids at all? You don't want to mention names, but have you encountered any things like that in your career so far? Alright, now I wanted to ask also, since I just mentioned you have that natural physique, you're known for being your taunt at the end of the fights was rubbing your belly. What's your favorite food to eat when you're cheating on your diets for fights?
Favorite cheating on that? Probably watermelon.
Watermelon, that's still pretty healthy.
Or, some type of fruit.
Do you have a special diet for when you fight, or is it just kind of the same food all the time?
Usually when I'm,
I've always been curious about that belly rub I just mentioned before. Where did that come from exactly? I know you do that after you win fights and stuff. Where did that actually originate?
It actually originated from, I think it was right when I won the Iron Belt. There was a guy on the crowd, I got on the side, and he kind of pointed at it, started rubbing it, and after that, it's been a hit ever since, you know, kind of like, with, you know, anybody that comes in, you know, cheering, if I can stand on a corner of the turnbuckles or something like that and get people to start rubbing their belly, it's, you know, pretty awesome feeling.
That's pretty cool. I wish I could do that. There's only one big country, that's for sure.
That's true.
All right, now I wanted to ask about Tough now. When did you first know that you were going to be on the Ultimate Fighter TV show? I mean, I know there were some tryouts for it. When did you first hear back from that you're going to be sent over there?
Probably in May.
In May, okay. So how were the tryouts exactly?
Huh?
How were the tryouts?
I didn't do any tryouts. All I did was I got a phone call and said, hey, I'm like, yep.
So a little bit easier experience than, I guess, the previous seasons.
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, I think I had a resume and credentials to kind of go into the house.
Yeah, I should definitely hope so. Were you a fan of the show beforehand, or is this just kind of like an opportunity just for you to get into the UFC and get some fights again?
I think it was more of an opportunity for both sides, you know. I think, you know, the UFC was hurting for heavyweights, and, this is one of their seasons where they can bring in some really good talent to help boost their heavyweight division. And, you know, what's better than, you know, the Ultimate Fighter, where, you know, it's made some world champions from, you know, past seasons.
Had you been told ahead of time who else is going to be on the cast for this season? That's a total surprise bit for everyone, then.
Pretty much. Everybody was, I think, more surprised that I was on the show than Kimbo.
Without giving away any spoilers, of course, what are your thoughts on the cast overall when you first got there? I know there were a lot of surprises, aside from Kimbo, including some NFL guys over there.
I think it's probably one of the best casts. I think it's a mixture of, like, a regular older to the comebacks where you've got, you know, veterans to elite athletes all just, you know, trying to get that one spot, you know, to become, you know, the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, it's a good cast. It's that I'm actually, you know, ready to watch it right now.
Were there any guys there that you were kind of really shocked to see?
I would say probably about 95% of them, you know, were shocked to see me there because it's one of those things that my resume, you know, preceded me, and they think, you know, I should have went, you know, a different route than the way that I came through, which, you know, but, what, you know, all I could tell them simply is it's called the Ultimate Fighter.
So now, one of your former IFL compatriots, if you will, Ben Rothwell, he basically got a contract right away with the UFC. Do you think it was kind of like a give or take almost at that point, since they were trying to chase Rothwell at that point, or, you know, what do you think of that situation exactly?
No, it's actually kind of weird how it is now, because you have Ben Rothwell actually in the UFC, but he wants to, you know, use me as a stepping stone for his career, which is kind of, you know, like, you know, if he's already in the UFC, but he wants to use me as a stepping stone, you know. So I think the route that I, you know, chose to go is a little bit better than just jumping right in on a whole bunch of different fronts, you know. It's all about bringing fans in and more demographics to the sport. And I think that's, you know, why it's a win-win from my standpoint to go through the Ultimate Fighter this way versus, you know, just getting a contract.
So there's some bad blood between you and Rothwell?
I'm sorry, what?
Is there some bad blood between you and Rothwell?
You know what? Back in the day, there used to be, but, you know, that was back when Ben was relevant, you know, in the sport, but right now he's just, you know, if he's the guy you have to go through to get to number one, then yeah, but, you know, apparently it's the other way. He needs to use me to get to number one, so I think he's, you know, just like me. I just like a straight line, you know, to the top, so, you know, it's a lot faster that way than trying to go around.
What was it like having a camera stuck in your face basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week during your time there?
It's really not that bad. I think the worst is just, when you you gotta train at a certain time, you gotta wake up, and sometimes you're beat up and you just wanna kinda get up and, just kinda lounge and not do anything. But then there's times where you wanna go train and you can't just get up and go train. So it's, when you're always at somebody else's whim, it kinda makes things very difficult, because you really don't have freedom.
Was that like the hardest part for being on the show for you? Or was that the lack of freedom?
I think the lack of freedom and the fact that, they filmed it, here in my, city. And I knew exactly where I was at all times, that I could, literally walk to my house. That's how close I was, and knowing that I can't even go sleep in my own bed. That's the stuff that made it very difficult, missing my wife to, missing my friends and missing the type of training that I'm used to.
So what helped you get through the end of the season?
Just knowing that that my wife on the other side, making sure that everything's gonna be handled on at home, and then on the business end, everything's gonna be handled by her. That's pretty much just the comfort of my wife.
Do you have any thoughts on the two coaches for the season? Again, without telling us who you ended up joining up, what are your thoughts on Rashad and Quentin as far as coaches and as far as interacting with them during the taping of the show?
They're both great guys. The only thing that you can, pick is who's going to be, the better fighter. You got Rashad, going up to his, his capabilities and just being a great athlete. You can see Rashad, being the next, beating Quentin. But then if you get Quentin, where if he comes back as his old pride self, you can see Quentin winning easy. So, for personalities, they're both guys, one's business and one's, just a jokester. So, I think it's one of those things that it all depends on what your preference is with personalities.
Can we expect any fireworks between those two guys on the show?
With those guys, there's always, you got Quentin, a jokester, and you got someone that's always business. Of course, you're going to have two personalities that clash.
Now, which fighter were you hoping that you would get your hands on as soon as you walked into the doors? Who was the first guy, if you could have picked someone to fight, that you would like to have fight?
As soon as I walked in the door, the first person I want to fight is, I can't even think, somebody, like a Wes Sims to a, probably everybody, one of the football guys, like, Wes Shivers to Brad Schwab to Marcus Jones. Anybody that probably, I'm trying to think who I, the only person I didn't want to fight is probably Kimbo. Because everybody else I didn't know was a fighter. And Kimbo was the only one that I knew was a fighter, that I knew beforehand. So probably everybody else before that.
So you're kind of looking to avoid Kimbo during the show's taping?
I'm sorry, what?
So you were looking to avoid fighting Kimbo during the taping of the show?
Yeah, because, the whole thing is when you're in the Ultimate Fighter, you got to fight three guys, get to where you need to go. So you always want to go to the easiest route with the least resistance, then, Kimbo's a fighter, so that's the last route you want to go.
Now, again, without giving away any spoilers, how was Kimbo on the show? There's been a lot of talk about him being there. What were your thoughts on him being in the house?
Like I said, Kimbo's probably one of the strongest fighters out there that everybody already knew beforehand. People make fun of, or say Kimbo doesn't have a lot of fights or anything. Look at Brock Lesnar. I think they're very similar and very close.
All right, so what can we look forward to of Roy Nelson on the upcoming season of The Ultimate Fighter?
Just basically how, a real heavyweight lives, and basically just, a guy that's going to go out there and, give it his all, and
I think the most important question I have to ask before we wrap it up is, did the house survive at the end of the season?
I would have to say, you know, this is probably one of the more exciting seasons, but at the same time, not the most immature season since the average age was 28.
All right, that's a sigh of relief for me then. All right, that's good to know. And Roy, I know you've got a few sponsors you want to thank, so if you go ahead, please feel free to mention those sponsors right now.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say thanks to Tap Out, you know, for always supporting me, and always superaction.com. And if everybody out there, you want more details about Roy Nelson, just go to roynelson.com.
That's just one word, roynelson.com?
Roynelson.com, and of course, my management, of course, is mcglorytalent.com.
All right, well, Roy, thank you very much for your time, and I wish you good luck in the show, but it's already over, so I look forward to seeing you kick some ass.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Papa.
All right, thank you. Okay, and if I can have you just stand in line for one more thing. Okay, if I can just have you say, this is Roy Big Country Nelson, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead whenever you want.
Hi, this is Roy Big Country Nelson, and you're listening to Fight Nerd...
Fight Nerd Radio.
You want to say radio part?
Yeah, we'll do that over. Sorry. So this is Roy Big Country Nelson, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
Hi, this is Roy Big Country Nelson, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
All right, thank you very much, Roy. If I got anything else, I'll give you a call. Otherwise, thanks for the interview, and I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it.
Fight Nerd Radio is brought to you by Hoodlum Fight Gear. Check out their gear and apparel for men and women at hoodlumfightgear.com. And by brawlandmall.tv. For high-performance fight gear, as well as energy drinks, music, apparel, and more, check out Brawl and Mall for all your needs. And finally, find mmagym.com, your online directory for finding the nearest mixed martial arts gym located in your state and all other states across America. And we are back on Fight Nerd Radio, and you just heard from Roy Big Country Nelson, a man of few but powerful words. You can catch the new season of The Ultimate Fighter on Spike TV, and if you miss an episode, you can expect to hear a recap about it on this show, since I actually will be watching, unlike last season. And also, we should be hoping to get a few of those fighters on as the show progresses, so make sure you stick around to hear from a few of the other contestants on The Ultimate Fighter, as well as hopefully Roy again. Alright, so that's going to wrap this episode of Fight Nerd Radio up. I just want to thank my sponsors once more. They are Brawl and Mall Performance Gear at brawlandmall.tv, Hoodlum Fight Gear at hoodlumfightgear.com, and findmmagym.com, your online directory for mixed martial arts gyms around America. If you're not already doing so, don't forget to watch me on the Fight Network. If you have any comments you want to add, send an email to matt@thefightnerd.com. Of course, I am the Fight Nerd, and thanks for listening. We're going to see you back here next week.